من اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. One of the things that has been mentioned in various supplications of this month, particularly more than many other, the supplication of al-iftitah that inshallah we're going to be doing after the talk, is thinking about and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help in regards to our Imam. I'll give you a couple other references before going to Dua al-Iftitah and briefly making a couple of points from the Dua so that we can realize what we need to be repeatedly thinking about, what type of thought we need to have in regards to the Imam of our time. One of the du'as that's been said to repeat on the nights of Qadr is Allahumma kulli waliyik. That has been said. We're supposed to repeat it, not just once, okay? Not at the end of a du'a or at the beginning of a du'a, do that du'a. If you don't have anything else to do, you're not doing a Qur'an, you're not doing another dhikr, you're not doing a prayer, you're thinking of doing something, do that. Allahumma kulli waliyik. Once you're done with it, do it again and again and again. And it's interesting, on that dua particularly, that dua was not introduced for the Imam of our time. That was there from the time of the Prophet. The believers were supposed to pray for the living wali of the time on the nights of Qadr. Allahumma kulli waliyik al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan. This Hujjat ibn al-Hasan is what we say. Hujjah, the son of Al-Hasan, Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, whose name is actually Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And we don't usually mention the name Muhammad because some people think that it's actually haram to mention the name of the Imam. That was for the time right when he was born, and at the beginning of the occultation, the ahadith say don't mention his name because it was a matter that was supposed to be kept secret. His identity was supposed to remain secret. People should not know there is a person, or if there is, what his name is. So for those who didn't know, they were told, don't mention his name, don't talk about his name. But this time, that's not the case. His name is Muhammad, the son of Hassan, salamullah alayhima. This piece is for us, but it wasn't like that. During the time of the Prophet, it would be Allahumma kulli waliyik Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Think about that, discuss that. It's interesting that that dua was there from the time of the Prophet. We're supposed to make that dua for the Prophet, then for Ali ibn Abi Talib, then for Imam Hassan, then for Imam Hussein, all the way up to today. Today our dua, because our Imam has remained the same, is Allahumma kulli waliyik Al-Hujjah ibn Hassan. This is one dua we have on the most important night of the month of Ramadan. Another dua that we have, you can find it in the daily duas in Mafatih al-Janan. I don't know if that's the book of dua you refer to. Done, if he's printed it, published it yet or not. I hope He has, it's, I think, a valuable, very valuable piece of work that needs to be available to everyone. One of the general du'as of the month of Ramadan, you ask a few different things. One of them, another point which inshallah we'll cover in another night, is Hajj. We ask Allah for Hajj. Then we have this line, وَقَتْلًا فِي سَبِيلِكْ تَحْتَ رَايَةِ نَبِيِّكْ مَعَ وَلِيِّكْ. Oh Allah, I want to be killed in your way, under the banner of your Prophet, with your Wali. The Imam of our time. That's a second dua, that's a daily dua. That's a daily dua. We're supposed to be reciting. Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi taught us of this dua. And the last one that covers much of it has to do with the Imam of our time is dua al-iftitah. The last part of it, which is a significant amount of it, not just, you know, a few lines. A couple of sections, one could say, I think roughly I could say there's three sections of that last part that are entirely addressing the Imam of our time and that matter. So this, the first point is, the first point that we want to get to is, there has to be a special remembrance of the 12th Imam in this month. We've got to remember him more than before. If on a daily basis or in the other months of the year, there is a weekly remembrance in Dua Nudba, which is another very important dua that at some point we should cover at least some of the lines. In the month of Ramadan, it's a daily thing. It's daily. Then what about the 12th Imam are we reminding ourselves? What type of dua are we making? What type of supplication? What are we asking? One of the famous, very well-known lines of dua al-iftitah related to this is, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. Some people like to recite that outside of the month of Ramadan as well, which is perfectly fine. You know, there's no requirement that we do it only in the month of Ramadan, but it's special. In the month of Ramadan, you try more to do it. Allahumma inna narghabu ilayk fi dawlatin kareema tu'izzu biha al-islam wa ahlah wa tudhillu biha an-nifaq wa ahlah. If you look at it, the word is explicitly mentioned there. Dawlatin kareema. We narghabu, we are hopeful of the government of the 12th Imam. We're hopeful of that government. We want the government of our Imam. And then different characteristics of that government are mentioned. First, tu'izzu biha al-islam wa ahla. Through that government that is led by the Imam of our time, you will give dignity, you will give honor to Islam wa ahla. And the believers. Look at the world today. Are Muslims, is Islam, and Ahlul Islam, the people of Islam, the Muslims, are they dignified? Are they respected? Especially Islam itself. Some people focus on the Muslims, Muslims being killed. Most oppression is against Islam itself and therefore against the Imam of our time, because the Imam of our time is the representation of the purest form of Islam. The governments of the world hate, except for the Islamic Republic, different degrees. They hate Islam. You think the Saudi Arabian government likes Islam? They're supposedly Muslims. The people of Saudi Arabia are Muslims. People in government are Muslims. Are they respecting Islam? They are the cause of disrespect to Islam. One of the cause. One of the puppets that is doing what kuffar want, to give Islam a bad name in so many different ways, is the Saudi government. This is supposedly a Muslim government. Muslim governments, you think they like Islam? Even if some of them sound like they do, no. What they like is not Islam. They like their own variation, they like their own version, their own creation. What feeds into their agenda, that's what they want. They don't want Islam. Islam is the advocate for an actual government of the people, where people's rights are actually respected. Actually, okay. There's a lot of people that say, oh, you know, human rights, this, that, the other, baloney. They don't really respect human rights or human lives, even in their own countries. Islam, so who's going to stand up for that? Does the Saudi regime likes people's involvement? Which one of these Muslim governments, except for the Islamic Republic, wants the people's involvement? Islam is not like. One of the characteristics of the government of the Imam of our time is تُعِزُّ بِهَا الْإِسْلَامُ. Government. Back to the point, we would want that. نَرْغَبُ. We long for that. If you're full with very good food, that I'm sure all of you are right now, okay, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless all those who've been providing the iftar these nights and the following nights and their marhumin, inshallah. So if we talk about food right now, your mouth is not going to be watering. You're not going to be wanting it too much because you already had it, okay? You already had it. If we think that the governments that we are living under are the types of governments that we want, we like to, them to be in power, then why would we want an alternative? Do we actually want an alternative? Do we feel like we're missing that and we want it? Or no, we feel like, oh, these guys are doing a great job. Recite the salawat, please. We've got to think about this. We are supposed to come to a point where from within our hearts, these words are words given to us, but they need to flow from within. When you say, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayk fi dawlatin kareema, we are wanting that great government of the Imam of our time. But in my heart, I don't have that. I don't want it. I don't have that raghba. I don't desire it. I don't long for it. I don't feel like I'm missing it. That's not a real talk. So what we learn, one of the lines that's constantly repeated that we need to start working on is to develop that line of the dua into a want. And the way we can do it is to look around us. Shaitan, right, shaitan reverses truth and falsehood, what's real and what's unreal. He reverses them. So under a system of taghut, he constantly brings to your attention aspects that seem, he presents them as though they are good. You feel good about them. You think, oh, the reality of the situation is, this is the best country on earth. This is the best government, therefore, on earth. Because it provides people this, that, the other. So why would you want to know? A replacement, an alternative. Everything else is horrible. What you want? I don't name any country right now, but you want that government, even the Islamic Republic. Oh, right. That's a good example, actually, that comparison right there. The shaitan of ins and jinn depict a picture of the Islamic Republic that there's actually nothing good in it. And the only reason why you would want it is like, okay, we're told, we're religious people, so we're told to like it. All right, well, we'll be okay with it. But it's not nice. It's not good. It's not something that you would want. And then the reverse of that here. Oh, this is dreamland, the American dream. Both of those are incorrect. And we need to see it. There's no point in me bringing up examples right now. What I want, what I'm suggesting to everyone is let's open our eyes. Let's see what's actually real. Shaitan, I mentioned this example before. Shaitan made Adam, our forefather, take what was clearly going to get him out of paradise. He got Adam to think that that is what will keep him there. He had that, Eve had that, our grandfather and grandmother had that, thinking if we have it, we will stay here for eternity. The exact opposite of what it was. Shaitan does that. Yay! The only way we can identify the truth is to keep our eyes open, to think, not to allow the cosmetics that are there to make it look good, fool us of the reality of what this is, inshallah. We ask Allah by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, the Yasins, the return of our Imam. We ask Allah to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping the cause of Allah, especially the ulama, maraja, our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. Ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, needs, requests, cure all the ill from amongst us. All those who are suffering from various causes and reasons, we ask Allah to relieve them. And we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, Rahimallah, and Qara al-Fatihata ma'as-salawat.